I'm not going to tell you guys anything you don't know here, but there's just nothing quite like welcoming your firstborn child into the world. In that moment, everything changes. And out of nowhere, you find that you have more love in you than you ever knew was possible. Just in a short period of time, you cannot imagine your life without them. Now, all children are definitely miracles, and all bring changes to life and to our families, but I don't think any of the changes are quite as drastic as those brought by the firstborn. Our scripture today talks of Jesus as the firstborn of creation. I don't think many of us stop to really think about Jesus existing before that fateful night in Bethlehem. But as the opening verses of the Gospel of John remind us, in the beginning was the Word. Remember, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. Jesus existed before he was fully human, before he was God made flesh. Jesus was there from the beginning, not the human Jesus like we so often think about or see in paintings or pictures, but the divine, second person of the Trinity. Jesus took part in the creation process, and therefore Jesus is in everything. Jesus is a part of every single thing, every single person, every iota of the universe found its origin in Jesus. Nothing, none of this, none of us are possible without Jesus. And that's the first part of our scripture reading from Colossians today, talking about Jesus as the firstborn of creation. Jesus is the impetus for all things changing, nothing being the same. Through him, all life began. All that is began. There's no us without him. Jesus is the firstborn that changed everything. But the writer of Colossians goes on to say that Jesus is also the first to be raised to eternal glory. The firstborn of creation is also the first brought into new resurrected life. Jesus was there at the beginning, and Jesus will be there at the end. Jesus gave us life, and as we lived into a life of faith with him, he gave us life abundant. And through his life, his death, and his resurrection, we too will be given eternal life. Jesus is there at the first and the last, the firstborn, the first resurrected. Those of us who live in faith, who call ourselves Christian, live in him. By the way, do you know the meaning of the word Christian? It means little Christ. Jim, have you ever been called little Jim in your life? Yeah. My husband was little, well, is still little Verge to many of his family. Just as our children bear resemblance to us and Jesus bears resemblance to God, so do we bear resemblance to Christ. When we live as followers of Jesus, the world should see Jesus in us. Jaden, we just had this conversation. You look like your dad, you look like your grandma, right? We bear the resemblance of the one who created us. And as we grow in faith, as we grow as disciples, that resemblance should grow as well. Jesus is in everything and has been in everything and everyone since creation. And when we take on Christ at our baptism, we begin to show the world that Christ is in us. That resemblance begins to be seen. Think about a newborn baby. How many parents have stared into the face of their newborn baby? Does he look like you? Does he look like me? Does he look like your mom, your dad? Who does he look like? Who does she look like? Sometimes those first days and weeks, it's a little bit unclear, but as they grow, those resemblances start to show up. Mom's eyes start to sparkle out of that round baby face. Dad's nose gets mirrored in the face of his son. And the more the child grows, so too grows that resemblance. Just as our DNA is in our children, the DNA of Christ is in us. If we are walking in his ways, we won't be able to help others seeing him in us. Now, I know my sons get sick and tired of hearing how much they remind people of their dad. They just kind of roll their eyes at it now. But when was the last time someone told you that you reminded them of Jesus? When was the last time someone reminded you of Jesus? To me, it seems as though we spend more time looking for things that separate us from one another. Are we urban or rural, rich or poor, American-born or immigrant, right or left? The list could go on and on and on and on. And we see all of those things that make us different from them. And by doing so, we turn them into others, into adversaries, even into enemies. After all, they don't look like us. They don't value what we value. They are wrong, we are right. They just don't understand our way of life, and they want to destroy our traditions. That's the thinking that naturally comes when we only see the differences in people. Differences become things to fear, things to avoid, even things to hate. But what would happen if we began to look for those things that unite us instead of focusing on those things that separate us? What if we began to look for the family resemblance? What if we saw each and every person as a beloved child of God? What if we sought to see Christ in everyone? Because if Christ is in all of creation, then Christ is in every person. Christ is in you. Christ is in me. Christ is in Donald Trump and Ilhan Omar. Christ is in the immigrants at the border and the border control agents. I'm not trying to be provocative or political here. I'm trying to make us all see, myself included, that all of creation bears the image of God, the God who created. And when we lash out at others, when we vilify or name call or judge or condemn, we do that to children of God. When we hate, when we fight, when we oppress, when we kill, we do it to those whom God loves and whom God cherishes. We do it to those who bear the image of God. As we continue in our work of being disciples, we have to look inside ourselves to find those places that we have allowed our hearts to be hardened against others. We must strive to see Christ in all. We must love all as Christ loves all. But perhaps even more importantly, we must show Christ to others. Yeah, we need to help them see Christ in themselves, but we do that by showing them the Christ in us. That is the beauty of the gift that we have been given. That is the power of Christ living in us. We are little Christs. So we need to start living as such. We need to show our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our enemies that the Christ in us loves the Christ in them. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know that God created them in love and out of love. They need to know that Jesus lived, taught, died and rose for them. So tell them. Show them that they are loved. Let them feel the love of God flowing through you. Let them see the family resemblance. And then invite them to worship with you, to pray with you. Christ was always invitational. He was always telling people, follow me, come with me, come and see. We need to emulate that invitational part of Christ as well. It's not that we have to share this message with the world. We get to share this message with the world. This love is a limitless supply. There's no need for us to be stingy with it. Let's flood the world and everyone in it with enough love to last a lifetime. As the Message translation put it, there is a mystery about faith that has been kept in the dark for way too long. But now it's out in the open. God wants everyone to know this secret. No matter their religious affiliation, no matter who they are or where they're from. And this is that mystery. Christ is in you. All of you. In y'all. In all y'all. So guess what? All y'all can look forward to sharing in God's glory. And I think that's a message we're sharing. So let's go share it. Let's be little Christs in the world. See the Christ in others, love them, and tell them that they are loved. Amen.